Seriously, why?
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from the
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
We are high atop Madison Square Garden, where the winds have suddenly subsided a bit from what we experienced yesterday throughout the tri-state area. The nor'easter that was raging and raging. Downpours of rain, high winds, utility pole lines down, trees down, branches down. But this broadcast is brought to you through the NJDiet.com facilities that have made this all possible. And Dominic Carter, Big Mac Daddy, in the house today. I was up in your neck of the woods where you broadcast in Westchester County for RN Fios 1 Monday through Fridays, 6 to 7.
When were you there?
Actually, I wasn't too far away, although I was down south. I was in Yonkers.
Okay.
And
RNN and Fios is in Rybrook.
That's right. And it was interesting because you weren't there at the press conference that I was holding.
Well, you know where I'm assigned full-time to the Menendez trial. So you talk about the winds. It was worse today in Rockland. At 6 o'clock in the morning, it was pitch black. And the winds, I thought some more trees were going to fall down.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
And so
really
in Pomona in Rockland County, where you hunkered down in your hovel. In the Dominic Carter house, you know, in the basement there, thinking it was, a tornado. Right or wrong?
I was in the basement and
scared the bejeebus out of you,
no,
right?
No, I love Pomona, Rockland County. Beautiful. Not far from Bear Mountain. Not far from Westchester County. Beautiful.
Anyway, I'll be in Spring Valley tomorrow night. I'll give you the details later on.
Okay.
In your neck of the woods. But I was in downtown Yonkers earlier today when the news came out that Manafort, his aide, and another Trump crony were going to be indicted by Mueller, the special prosecutor. I was standing side by side in a storefront headquarters off of Getty Square in the shadow of the Schlobein Projects, not far from Nodine Hill, with State Senator George Latimer, who is running against Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino.
Wait a minute. You were with Latimer? I thought Astorino was your guy.
Oh, he used to be my homeboy. But we had a big falling out over corruption. And obviously, Rob Astorino is knee-deep in it when you look at the testimony last week, Thursday, in federal court by Reichnich, as he said that Rob Astorino took $25,000 from him and his colleague Reichberg in order to get placards that said that they were clergy members for the Westchester County Police, of which they're not even rabbis, nor do they live in Westchester. And to this moment, Rob Astorino has taken the code of America, will not answer that. We'll get into that later on as we discuss how Comrade Bill de Blasio, your mayor, not mine.
My mayor.
Yeah, seems to have the first level of dementia. If you notice, he can't seem to remember any phone conversations he had with his very dear Kumbada Chich Reichnich, who gave him over $100,000 for his campaign, and couldn't remember reading any of his emails.
Whenever a politician, I say this based on 30 years experience, whenever a politician starts with, I don't recall, I don't know, I don't remember, that's cold talk for something that's terribly wrong.
That means he's doing the rope-a-dope and he's lying. And today, on his way down from Penn Station, I think down to the South Street's ferry terminal, he was in the company of Bernie the Altacaca Sanders.
What good does it do now?
Well, it does a lot of good for us to know all the nitty-gritty dirt on Comrade Bill de Blasio. Because why, Bernie the Altacaca Sanders, would you be standing side by side with a guy, a mayor, who should for all reason, be in jail for pay for play.
What good does it do now?
Knock it off. We'll deal with you later. But anyway, Dominic Carter, you warned us. You said if the special prosecutor were to indict anyone affiliated with the Trump campaign, it would be extremely bad news. And he pulled the trigger a lot sooner than most people anticipated.
No doubt about it. If you're the president right now, Roger Stone, we know what he's saying out of Washington. Roger is someone I've known a long time, but he's the master of spin. But if you're the president right now, it can't be a good feeling. The president's trying to stay ahead of this story. He's trying to stay out of this. But if you indict the right-hand man, the campaign manager, guess what? You think they're indicting Paul Manafort because he's the big fish and they want him? Or are you thinking that he'll flip and give something on the president of the United States?
Well, that's very interesting, because the one person who isn't garnering the attention, as Paul Manafort and his business partner, Rick Gates, are for laundering lots of rubles, lots of Vladimir Putin rubles over the years, housing them in offshore banks in the country of Cyprus and money laundering, is the ex-Trump aide who admits he tried to coordinate with Russians during the campaign. You're not really hearing much about George Papadopoulos, who says that he was communicating directly with the Russians. And that, to me, sounds a little bit like possible collusion, since he's pled guilty.
What's the common denominator here? The common denominator happens to be Russia. No matter what, the topic seems to come back to Russia. And indirectly, though he's not being named or mentioned in any criminal way right now, and we don't know if it ever will happen, but President Trump. Everything seems to come back to Russia and President Trump.
Well, he's trying to obviously spin out of it. He was tweeting away as Manafort and his partner were being led away in chains and shackles in order to be indicted in federal court. He tweeted, "These are old charges, no collusion." But then again, George Papadopoulos, his ex-aide, has admitted, has pled guilty to colluding with the Russians. So you can't have it all ways. You can't say that your backside is clean, you know, that there's no collusion whatsoever. When a guy who was giving you advice, a guy who was at your shoulder about foreign policy initiatives, actually admitted today that he was colluding with the Russians. Anyway, let's open up our phone lines. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-WABC. How are you reacting to Mueller's indictment of not only Manafort, his business partner, but a guy who's gotten no attention, George Papadopoulos, who in fact has already pled guilty to colluding with the Russians? In fact, you mentioned the master of spin, a man who knows where all the political bones are buried and who buried him, Roger Stone, who's got the, who has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on his right shoulder.
And I've seen it. It's kind of scary when you look at it in person.
Oh, he showed you some of his private parts.
Oh, here we go. Don't start with that this morning. It's Monday this afternoon. Don't start. I told you Roger's a good friend. I've been to a couple of his apartments here in Manhattan.
Oh, a few of
lunch.
His apartments.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I see. He's a swinger, you know.
I'm not going there.
You know, he swings always.
Not going there. Well, not going
you had,
there.
You had dinners with Ed Koch.
I said, oh, okay, Ed Koch now. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Clearly a gay guy. Roger
That's,
Stone
it's not
a
swinger. Clear. It's not clear. The mayor has never dealt with the issue of sexual
we didn't
orientation.
Didn't have to. Herbert Rickman, his deputy mayor, that was his gay lover at the time. Okay, nowadays, if he were around, Ed Koch would be doing what the actor just did today, who acknowledged Kevin Spacey that he was gay after he was perving on this 14-year-old kid. Spacey, right? From House of Cards.
Yes, the character that plays the president in House of Cards.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden he's gay, right? Whereas before that, I'm not gay, but now I'm gay. I was perving on a 14-year-old actor. You know there's more that's going to come out of the woodwork on that. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. But let's go to the ultimate spin doctor extraordinaire, who no longer has his Twitter account because he was going so berserk on it right before the weekend. They took it from him, Roger Stone.
I do know, generally speaking, he believes, as I do, that the entire question of Russian collusion with his campaign is a myth, a fairy tale, a witch hunt.
A myth, a fairy tale, a witch hunt. Then here's Roger Stone talking about a man that he used to be business partners with, Manafort.
I think Paul Manafort is an honest man. I don't know of any evidence of collusion with the Russians, which is what this investigation is about. Now, I understand how this works. You try to find something Paul Manafort did 15 years ago, and you call it money laundering, tax evasion, wire fraud, some nonsense. And then you say, okay, Manafort, we're sending you to jail for 15 years unless you just admit you were colluding with the Russians and that Donald Trump knew everything. I don't think that's likely to happen. Paul Manafort is a solid man. I think he's an honest man, and I don't think he's going to roll on the president of the United States because they use some mafia-type tactic on him.
You better be careful, Roger Stone,
because
Manafort was money laundering rubles from Vladimir Putin on behalf of his puppet, who was the head of the Ukrainian government at that time before he fled, and then housing it offshore in banks in Cyprus, which is what all the Russian oligarchs and mobsters do. If you were his business partner, Roger Stone, maybe you benefited from some of that money laundered generosity of rubles coming from Vladimir Putin. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go right to the phones. First up in the queue is Brody from the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Brody.
Good morning. You know, I got to tell you, what a knucklehead thing. And keep off the trigger, please, Curtis, for a minute here. What a knucklehead thing for your buddy to say, well, he's not involved, and he's not, I'm paraphrasing, he's not involved, and it's not him, and there's no evidence. But by association, now it's...
No. No evidence as of yet. No evidence as of yet.
Yeah. Oh, no joke. Nothing is as of yet until it happens.
Okay, right.
So let me finish. You want to interrupt me? Let me finish. For you to say that, it's the liberal dream. You finally found something by hook or crook, some intangential reality in your mind only that brings Trump into this. And shame on you. It's too bad Hillary lost. But you
okay.
Got, you know,
well, Mr. Brody, did I pick Paul Manafort as my campaign manager, or did President Trump? Did I do that, or did President Trump?
So that makes Trump guilty of the...
No. It points to bad character, at least bad character.
No, it doesn't show bad character on the side of Trump.
This is the man that the president, who the at the time the candidate, who could not keep a campaign manager. This is the man that Donald Trump turned to.
How does that have anything to do with evidence of Trump's involvement with Russia?
And I'm so glad that you asked that question, because the cards are coming down as of right now. We're going to find out very soon what happened and what didn't happen.
That's a pipe dream in your mind. You've been wishing for this since he was elected.
And really?
Yeah, really.
Well, then why did I take so much criticism for predicting his victory, if that's what I was wishing for?
What? If you can predict stuff, give me the lottery number, Big Shot. Give me the lotto number for Wednesday. Okay, Mr. Prediction.
All right, now, Brody, forget Manafort for a second. Trump's foreign policy advisor during the campaign has just pled guilty to having colluded with the Russians.
Oh no!
Why would he plead guilty, Brody?
That's a liberal spin. That's liberal spin.
Why would he plead guilty?
All right, let me answer you. Let me bring something that's close to you, Curtis. Remember Donald Manus?
Sure. Okay? Sure.
I like that. Did you? We all like Donald Manus. He was a good man. He talked about a house of cards. He went down, and everyone around. Crap happens, and it's happening around Trump. It's not happening because Trump is in the middle of it. Wait a second.
Because of Donald Manus and all of his cronies who were putting their beaks in the trough of the city administration of Ed Koch, the book was written by Jack Newfield, City for Sale, about the Ed Koch last 4 years in office, his third term. Koch never got indicted, but let's face it, he turned a blind eye to everything that was going on in his administration. You would have to admit that, right, Brody?
Curtis, I do admit that, and that's my point. That's where you take something, the whole cadre is just dirty. Trump, unfortunately, good or bad, made bad decisions, does not make him guilty.
All right, so, Brody, rather than prejudge, how about we just see where this investigation goes? Everybody is already making determinations. You know, this is a lynch squad after Trump, or, yeah, he's guilty. This is just one of what may be many indictments coming down the pipe. Let the special prosecutor do his job. And, by the way, we have a special prosecutor because Donald Trump fired the FBI Director Comey. There would never have been a special prosecutor if not for that.
That's a liberal spin. That's a liberal spin. Don't you get it? It's anything that points or in the direction of the president, that's a liberal spin.
I don't know how he can be completely not knowledgeable about Manafort and his many business dealings with Vladimir Putin prior to coming on board as his campaign manager.
Let me put it to you this way. If you're the special independent counsel here in this case, are you going to stop with Paul Manafort? That's going to be the best that you do?
No. Of course not. And you're going to hope that Manafort and his business associate and this other guy, Papadopoulos, will lead you to others. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
It must be like Putin.
Vladimir Putin, because he is the center of controversy that involves not just the Trump administration with these indictments today, but also because Team Hillary paid for that dossier to continue pushing it on the Trump campaign during their general election, which we'll discuss up next. So the granddaddy of all this chaos in Michigan, Vladimir Putin. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Dominic Carter in the house. First up in the queue is Bill from New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Billy.
Yes, how are you guys doing?
Hi, Bill.
Have had better days.
Listen, quick point, and then I'll wait for your comments. It seems like when we talk about Trump and Manafort, there's always a direct line between Trump and whoever we're talking about. However, when it came to the Obama administration, whether it was Hillary Clinton, who worked with him for many years, or Loretta Lynch, or the IRS, who went after the Republicans, there's never a parallel drawn between them and Obama, but there was always a parallel between Trump and anyone that worked for him. I kind of think that's unfair. Please comment, guys.
Oh, yeah. I completely concur with you. In fact, that's what we're going to be discussing up next, the dossier that was first paid for by a conservative group on the Hill to destroy the Trump campaign. And then, and I believe that was with Marco Rubio's support, and then it was passed on to the DNC. They naturally carried it forward. But then there's also the sale of the uranium that Secretary of State then Hillary Rodham Clinton signed off on that then brought a very significant series of donations to the Clinton Foundation and a big fat fee for Bill Clinton to speak before a Russian bank in the old Soviet Union.
It all stinks. It all stinks.
And it all needs to be vetted out and investigated.
Yes.
What's fair is fair.
What's fair is fair. But my point is this. We have one president and one president only of the United States. Manafort at a time. Manafort was his handpicked campaign manager that was forced out. So that is the issue as of right now.
Dominic, I'm looking at this guy, Papadopoulos, and I'll tell you why. Because he was caught lying to the FBI. So he's a cooperating witness now. He's admitted colluding with the Russians on behalf of the Trump campaign.
Correct.
That means, unlike Manafort and his business associate, who are not cooperating witnesses, so they could be hostile witnesses, this guy Papadopoulos could open up a Pandora's box.
Right. Depending on what he knows. But remember, the FBI was sending loud and clear messages to Manafort when they stormed his house at, 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
In terms of a raid? So that should have told him right then and there he was going to be indicted. They're going to twist now and twist Manafort and see what he can give up.
Well, they want to also go after his wife. So that's what they're going to use against Manafort.
That's what they often do. That's what they're doing to localize it. That's what we're looking at with Cuomo's aid situation.
Pococo, his leg breaker.
Going after his wife.
And they'll do the same thing when they indict Lieutenant General Flynn. They'll hold up the prospect of indicting his son.
Yes.
Instead. But anyway, on that note, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duff.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty.
The theme song for Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's not going to escape this, Dominic Carter. because it was another bizarre twist in the ongoing investigation involving everything Vladimir Putin, everything Russia, everything Sturgeon, Stolivodka, caviar, and hot-to-trot prostitutes in Moscow who might give you a golden shower if you believe the memo. Anyway, we now learn that that dossier that was first used against the Trump campaign that suggested that he was asking for golden showers from hookers while on a business stay in a top-shelf five-star hotel in Moscow was first paid for by the conservative news outlet, the Washington Free Beacon. In fact, they were not only trying to dig up dirt on Trump, but other GOP candidates about 6 months earlier.
But I find this golden shower stuff with Trump very, very hard to believe.
Oh, I don't believe it because we know he's a German voter.
That's right. So he, a few years ago, as we've talked about on this show, he would not even want to shake your hand.
Yeah.
So I find that extremely hard to believe.
Well, whereas the Washington Free Beacon realized that, our candidate is going to be Donald Trump, we either vote for Hillary, which they wouldn't do, and urge their subscribers to do that, or jump on the Trump bandwagon. That's what they did. But then all of a sudden, the guys with the dossier said, let's take it to the DNC, you know, Podesta and Hillary. They probably want to fund this because we could really milk them for a lot of do-re-mi. And that's exactly what Hillary and Podesta did. They bought the dossier, and then through their own nefarious means, they were trying to spread it and get it to catch hold so that it could damage the Trump campaign in the general election. And now, naturally, Republicans are saying, wait a second, this is not fair and square. You know, everyone's talking about the Trump campaign collusion with the Russians. This dossier involves the Russians. How come Hillary isn't being investigated? And I say, they're absolutely right. She cannot get a pass on this.
Okay, but wait a minute.
This is dealing with a foreign government.
Okay, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. I want you to explain this to me.
Yes.
You know politics like the back of your hand.
Sure.
Every campaign has a file on the other candidate, paid for by the campaign.
Negative research. Cents of every dollar any of you folks donate out there goes to negative research for the candidate that you're supporting.
That's right. So explain to me why this falls outside of those parameters.
Because this isn't research that was done internally within the borders of the United States. This is coming from agents of a foreign government. In this case, it's really two. It's the UK. You could say they're our ally, but they spy on us and we spy on them. In fact, we probably spy on our allies more than we spy on our enemies. And likewise, they do to us, like Israel, which always seems to know everything we're doing before any of our officials announce what we're doing. But Russia's involved in this dossier scheme. So for Hillary and Podesta to make a strategic decision, we want this dossier. We want to smear the Trump campaign. I think merits an investigation. Now, does it need a special prosecutor? Do we need to go to that extent? Well, let's see what an investigation brings up first on the Hill, whether it's through the House or the Senate. But I don't think you can give Hillary a pass on this.
So let me make sure I got this right here. So based on the president's tweets as of yesterday and this morning.
Oh, he went crazy.
Don't look at me. Look at Hillary.
Oh, we should. We should be looking at her, too. And more importantly.
But the president says don't look at him.
Well, no, we have to look. We have to look at Donald Trump. I mean, he's denied everything. He's denied having anything to do with the Russians. He's blamed global warming, climate change on the Red Chinese. You know, the whole nine yards. No. We'll look at everyone together. And in Hillary's case, more problematic is she signed off on that deal that allowed 20% of our uranium stocks to be handed over to the Russians. They paid for it. And then a nice sizable donation was delivered to the Clinton Foundation and a big fat fee for a speech given by Bill Clinton before the oligarch who owned this bank in Moscow was also part of that. So to me, that's quid pro quo. That's pay for play. That needs to be fully vetted out and investigated. And if everybody from the former administration needs to be dragged up on the Hill and sworn in under oath and testify to that effect, whether Hillary's guilty or innocent, let's see where this takes us. But you can't just keep pounding away at the Trump campaign and give Hillary a pass.
But is Hillary the one pounding away at the Trump campaign? No. Hillary lost the election and she's gone on with her life. That's the way it appears to me.
Oh, no, she's still moaning and groaning about why she lost the election. She still hasn't come around to figuring out that America hated her.
Right. Well, if we're going to be honest about this, she lost the election because she took it for granted. She thought she had it in the bag. She thought she was already measuring the drapes of the Oval Office, and she wasn't in states like Wisconsin and other states. She should have did a Bill Clinton,
which is
you take nothing for granted.
There has been a stench around the Clintons everywhere they've been, from Little Rock to the White House Bill, throughout the campaigns. I would have no problem with a special prosecutor being assigned to follow up on the Clinton Foundation, all the monies they received, what role, if any, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton played in it at that time, and more importantly, the purchase of the dossier by the DNC with the okay of Hillary and Podesta to continue the smear of the Trump campaign. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Bob, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter in the house today on WABC. Bob?
All right, Curtis, hey, Dominic, welcome back.
Hi, Bob.
Dominic, Curtis, the greatest show on earth, man. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Hey, Dominic, stay with Curtis, please. I have a lot of people listening to you and Curtis. Stay with them.
That's very kind of you, Bob. Thank you.
All right, let's get down to it. Okay,
let's do it.
All right, I want you guys to help me out. Think about this. Comey gets fired, all right? And it's kind of a good thing for him because he's really the one who could put Hillary away. Now, think about suspect number two, Anthony Weiner. Cut him a deal. Let him get out of jail if he talks and cooperates and tells us everything about those emails. Suspect number three, Uma, the wife of Weiner. Round him up and get him to talk. Get him to cut deals. Get Obama. Get Loretta Lynch. Get them all. Ride each other out. Cut deals. And you will get down to the truth because they will cut deals and it will turn on each other.
Well, then I think that's fair. I think that's fair, Bob. Yes, I mean, if we're going to fully investigate Trump and his associates during the campaign, what they did, what they didn't do.
Yes,
likewise, we should do and find out what was being done in the Obama administration in order to create this chaos, this misinformation. Yes. And obviously, to get this dossier out there, that was dead on arrival at the Republican convention in Cleveland. That conservative group that had paid for it said no more. We're not dealing with it anymore. We're endorsing Trump.
But not only that. If this information was good in this report, as a member of the Fourth Estate, you know we would have taken it and run with it. If we were able to prove the allegations. But on a local level, to what Bob just said, take one and pressure them and the whole everybody to tell the truth, we're seeing that play out right now. I know we're going to discuss this later. But with the trial of former Correction Union President Norman Seabrook, right? Well, Dominic, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with a lot. We're looking at Astorino on the ropes because of the witness at the Seabrook trial right now.
Sure.
We're looking at de Blasio on the ropes in a big way, running from reporters literally Saturday night because of this one witness at the Seabrook trial.
Right, Nitch. But anyway,
yes.
Let's go back to what Bob said. He said he wanted you to stay with me.
In what way?
Well, you know what that requires. That
what
means
does that require?
If all of a sudden one of my many enemies out there were to pop out from the bushes and pop a tule at me and watch fire a shot and finish the job that John Gotti Jr. tried back in 1992, would you take the bullet for me, Dominic Carter? Would you step in front of that gunman and take the bullet for me?
So you want me to be a Secret Service agent?
No. I want you to prove your loyalty. That, in fact, as Bob said, he said, I want you, Dominic, you heard him over and over, to stay with Curtis.
Right.
Stay with Curtis.
Bob did say that.
So as you know, if I catch the bullet, this show goes off the air because they'll get somebody else to replace me.
Right.
But you see, if I survive,
the show
will continue.
Right.
But if you're injured, taking the bullet, we could always do a live remote from your hospital room there at Bellevue.
So you want the brother to take the bullet?
You have to prove your loyalty, man. You can't be. No. This is what a Kumbadichich is about. You know what a Kumbadichich means? That's why
like
I said
Rudy
Giuliani is my Kumbadichich.
Right.
A Kumbadichich is not a blood relative.
Okay.
But it's somebody so close to you that they would take a bullet for you if somebody were trying to do you harm.
Right.
Are you going to be my Kumbadichich?
Guess what?
Why are you hesitating?
Guess what?
What?
I'll take the bullet.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'll take the bullet.
All right. And you can take quite a few bullets. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're investigating the Trump administration, it's time that Hillary gets fully investigated, along with the Obama administration, about their Russian collusion and connections.
Who's going to do it? Who's going to do the investigation?
I think you have a special prosecutor. You be fair about this. I think what Americans are looking for is fairness. And then immediately, as partisan as it'll still be, you take the bite out of that. You really do, because you're saying both sides are being fully investigated. Just got to find a man or a woman who has impeccable credentials like Mueller does. A lot of people are now, they're bad-mouthing Mueller, but they weren't bad-mouthing him originally when Trump was interviewing him to come back as the FBI director. Anyway, let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is Patrice, who I believe is calling from Hillside. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Patrice?
Hi, how are you?
I've had better days.
Hi, Patrice.
Hi, Dominic.
Go right ahead.
Oh, you know, I just wanted to say that this whole uranium fiasco is nothing but a deflection from what's going on with Donald Trump's campaign and their ties with Russia. And that's really all this is. How are you guys going to flip it on Hillary? She did not win the election.
Patrice, you have to be a little concerned that the Russians now have control of that uranium that we used to have control of.
Control of the uranium that they can't leave, that can't leave the United States.
Well, yeah, but they profit from that now. They profit from that when it's sold. And secondarily, they gave a kickback. They gave a kickback. You can't say they didn't give a kickback.
She wasn't even Secretary of State, Curtis.
What are you talking about? She signed off on the deal.
She did not sign off on the deal.
Wait a second. Now all of a sudden, you're denying she signed off on the deal? That's a given. Secondly, are you denying that they made a donation to the Clinton Foundation, Patrice?
Before, she wasn't Secretary of State when that happened.
All right, Patrice, are you denying they gave it? You see this partisan attitude? They gave a donation to the Clinton Foundation, sizable millions of dollars, and then they paid $500,000 to have Bill Clinton come and speak at a bank in Russia. An oligarch rolled that out as part of the deal. Are you denying that, Patrice?
People give donations to the Clinton Foundation. So
you see, this is why we have to have a special prosecutor for the Clintons and the Barack Obama administration and continue to be on the jockstrap of Donald Trump, who's in complete denial that any of his minions were colluding with the Russians.
Hillary is yesterday's story. The president is
doesn't
present.
Matter. Both sides are lying. They're both lying.
Curtis Lewa. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of one, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the winds have calmed down. Because, were they whipping around earlier this morning and all day yesterday in that nor'easter. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided for us to do this broadcast to all of you, courtesy of NJDiet.com. It's Dominic Carter in the house. And some breaking news, as I was just saying, Dominic, in the last hour segment, that both sides should be equally investigated, Democrats and Republicans' collusion with the Russians. Well, guess who has just stepped down as a result of the new investigation into the DNC?
Who?
Podesta is stepping down from the Podesta group as a result of the fact that he is under investigation.
What good does it do now?
All right, Bernie, we're going to get to you momentarily because you are a sock puppet today for a man who may be aging faster than we thought, Dominic Carter. I'm very concerned. I'm really concerned about your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio.
My mayor.
Yeah, your mayor, because I didn't vote for him, nor would I ever vote for him for a second term in office. The part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope. But he seems to have an incredible inability to remember phone conversations, emails from his very dear friend.
Can't remember, huh?
Right. His campaign donor, Reichnich. Almost the way Jeff Sessions couldn't remember meeting with Sergei Kislyak, remember the Russian ambassador, on three separate occasions. Couldn't remember. I couldn't remember. I don't know. Maybe it's part of that aging process. But I will tell you this. I'm not going to take the mayor to task before we play what he said. I'm not going to take him to task because I can't have it both ways. I can't accuse the mayor every night of going onto the back porch of Gracie Mansion, which I know he does, with his old lady, and smoking a fatty of Hindu Kush, although I understand now he vapes. I can't accuse him of doing that and then not recognize one of the side effects of regular marijuana use is, you know, kills your brain cells and you forget. Remember that famous PSA by the Partnership for Drug-Free America that we grew up with, watching it on TV, Dominic?
Yes.
Marijuana is an intoxicating, mind-muddling drug. Its use can lead to abnormal behavior, to psychological dependence, and to abuse of other drugs. The human brain, after all, is made for thinking, not fumigating.
Yes, so you see, he's fumigated his brain for years. First, when he lived in Park Slope, he was the city council person there fixing parking tickets for his constituents. Then he when he was at that no-show job as public advocate, looking to run for the mayoralty at taxpayers' expense, and now as mayor. He has smoked every night, and so it will kill brain cells. So when he says, for instance, that he doesn't remember, I kind of understand he's in a drug-induced psychosis. But what he does remember is that Jonah Reichnich is not only a rat, but a liar and a criminal.
Jonah Reichnich is a liar and a felon. It's as simple as that. He is a convicted criminal. To save his own skin, he has lied about a number of things, including access to government officials. He's lied about the integrity of my administration.
What a Pinocchio. You know, his nose has probably grown so much in
that's
the last
a good
few days.
Way to put it. I'm glad that you, because I didn't know how to tell the truth about this situation. Pinocchio. Let's give him, let's say 100 is the highest amount of Pinocchios you can get for the greatest lie. Let's put the mayor at about 1,000.
Now, the mayor personally solicited him for campaign donations, went to Reichnich's office, gave him his business card and on the back his personal cell number and email address and said, whatever you need, just contact me. Now, all of a sudden, I guess Bill de Blasio's fuzzy, drug-induced psychotic memory can't seem to remember that.
Never met him to my memory before the fall of 2013. Only had contact with him for a year or a year and change. Never was close to him.
Never was close to him.
Do you realize what could happen in a year's time period?
Hmm.
When you're dealing with someone that's trying to buy City Hall, do you realize what could happen in that long of a time period?
Mm.
Let me put it to you this way, Curtis. The rap on Mayor de Blasio, as someone that's covered all the mayors going back to Koch, was that he had perhaps the biggest ego of them all, lacked the credentials and credibility, and that there were going to be issues as it relates to campaign donations, and money. I have never met a New York City mayor with a bigger ego of himself than Bill de Blasio.
Boy, that's saying a lot, because Bloomberg certainly had one. My boy Rudy had
one. Bloomberg was not like that, or at least I never saw it.
Pretentious, though, just like de Blasio.
Yes, right. but de Blasio, he takes it to an entirely different level. Here's the plus for de Blasio. You said you can't have it both ways. So here's the plus. Here's the plus for Bill de Blasio. Thank God this is coming out now, Mr. Mayor, than 6 months ago in the middle of the campaign. Thank God that you're only 10 days away from the election in a Democratic city, and by the time voters realize what has happened, you will be reelected.
Well, let's look at the evidence that was provided in testimony last Thursday by Reitnitz, who said that the mayor had confided into him, hey, I'm having a problem with your homeboy, Norman Seabrook. That's the very reason for this trial, because Reitnitz was an enabler to Norman Seabrook, who took his pension funds of his members from the correctional union without ever getting a vote that he could, invested it in this shaky hedge fund that went south, and obviously cleared about 60 G's himself that he was carrying around, I think in a Louis Vuitton bag or something like that. And de Blasio said, I'm having a problem with Norman. Reitnitz, can you intervene? And Reitnitz intervened and calmed Norman down because he was doing business, whining, dining, and pocket lining with Norman. So he sent back the email, the Norman Seabrook business taken care of. The mayor was asked about that email.
I have no memory of that. I saw that report. I have no memory of that at all.
Can I hear that again?
I have no memory of that. I saw that report. I have no memory of that at all.
All right. This is the time you want to strap up an elected official to a lie detector test and watch him get blown to kingdom come. He has no memory of that whatsoever.
But Curtis, us folks of the Fourth Estate, we should be so thankful for Mayor de Blasio, because at least he took questions on this day. He has decided.
Yeah, but that, he was running away. He was running away.
Literally running away. He has decided, and he's tried to blame Bloomberg. Don't blame Bloomberg. Bloomberg always took questions. That unlike Dinkins, Koch, Bloomberg, that he's only going to take questions when he wants to take them. I mean, he's taking the mayoralty of New York City to an entirely different level, and that's not in a good way.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe the mayor that he has had all loss of memory when it comes to Reitnitz's many phone calls and his many emails? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Now, the biggie question was the press yesterday cornered him in the Rockaways, where he was talking about the anniversary of Hurricane Sandy and how generous he's now going to be to the people in Rockaway who are always a dollar short, a day late, the forgotten people. Notice, it's just right before Election Day, right? 1 week away. But he was asked if he ever asked Reitnitz directly for a donation. Listen to this mumbo jumbo from the mayor.
I don't recall if I talked to him directly about that. I don't remember when I asked someone specifically what I asked him. It's just way too much has happened. So it's very normal that I wouldn't remember a specific conversation.
He wouldn't remember. Now, this is a young guy, right? I mean, Bernie the Altacaca Sanders, right?
What good does it do now?
Who's campaigning with de Blasio today in the city. He seems to have memory recall, right? The Altacaca, who's like going to soon be 80 years old. But Bill de Blasio has no memory recall.
When mayors or government officials start using terms like, I don't recall, that's so that they can avoid perjury charges.
Now, you know, Reitnitz,
once they're under oath.
Reitnitz said he had a weekly conversation with the mayor because the mayor and his aides would constantly ask him to pony up more dough. This is what the mayor said about that.
If he is saying he spoke to me every week, that's just preposterous.
Now, you can't have it both ways. You don't remember talking to this guy at all. But there is a possibility that he was calling you every week, and that's preposterous.
And you do happen to remember the negative stuff, that he's a convicted felon.
Now you have to ask yourself, why didn't the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, Bree Pahara, had just been replaced by Kim, and then Cyrus White Shoes, if you got enough money to make a donation to me, I'll release your client, White Shoes Vance. Why neither of them chose to indict him based on these answers that de Blasio is giving now, which you know before a jury would have hung him, and what Reitnitz very forcefully said from the witness stand just last Thursday and Friday, and probably will repeat today under cross-examination. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Pete calling from Bayside. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC, Pete.
Hey, Curtis. Good to hear from you again. Listen, I'm thinking about this whole de Blasio thing. If we have somebody that's running a city as big as New York and can't remember something like $100,000, I think he needs to be examined. I think he needs to have a psychiatric review because there's something wrong with his memory, so he shouldn't have a job like being in the city.
Now, Pete, I want to give him a little slack here because, as you know, I have always said the guy at night, instead of having a martini or a cocktail to unwind, he smokes a blunt. And we were trained early on, you remember, by the Drug-Free Partnership of America that smoking marijuana will kill brain cells and kill your memory?
Right. That's right.
Is that a possibility, Pete?
Well, maybe it's secondhand smoke from his wife's blunts.
Or maybe he's getting shotgunned by her.
Could be.
But see, you guys are joking around regarding something that's very serious.
I'm not joking, okay? This is serious. If you can't remember $100,000, there's something wrong with you.
Pete, do you really believe the mayor of New York City can't remember $100,000?
The mayor of New York City is guilty of what he's calling that fellow that he's saying is a liar and a con and everything else. The mayor is a liar. He's been lying through his teeth.
Now, hold on a second, Pete. Bernie Sanders is at his side today.
What good does it do now?
And Bernie is saying, leave the mayor alone. Leave him alone.
Nah, he needs to be indicted, too.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Hey, get the daisy chain out. Make the perp walk. A whole bunch of these scallywags should be indicted for lying.
And keep in mind, the feds did not clear de Blasio. The office was going through a transition where Barrera was leaving. The number two was taking over. And remember, you have the McDonald case. Maybe it hadn't come back yet, but I think it did. The McDonald case that greatly narrows the definition of corruption, making it much harder for a prosecutor.
By the way, from his constant smoking of Hindu Kush, he loves McDonald's at night right there in the East 96th
really?
Street. He gets the munchies, him and his old lady.
But are you sure that he's smoking marijuana?
Oh, yeah. They got big fans.
I don't know about
but
that.
But now he vapes. He vapes, so it's not as noticeable when he had the blunt.
I didn't want to say this before. When you vape, that means you what? You hold the...
No, it's a little metal container, right? So it's not discernible.
It's like what they used to do back in the day.
No.
The bottle, and hold
no,
it.
No. A vape is what an e-cigarette would look like, to a degree. But it's at times not discernible. It's not like a Philly blunt or a Dutch Masters blunt, no. And you don't necessarily, the pungent odor is not necessarily as strong as when you were first smoking ragweed up in the Bronx.
So how do you get it into the...
Oh, you pack it in.
And is it like a blunt or...
No, it's not a blunt at all.
Okay, I'm confused.
Oh, you see, I'm blacker than you.
So wait, a black person has to know what
most
this
black
is?
People are more street smart than white people. You know, white people a lot of times are okie dokies, as you know. 1-800-848-WABC.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77-WABC.
In addition to what the federal witness, who has become a cooperator in the case against former correctional union chief Norman Seabrook up on corruption charges, Reitnitz had to say. He also gave testimony about Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino.
Your boy.
Used to be my boy. He is now still under investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office for pay for play. Because as you remember, last Thursday, Reitnitz said that both he and his colleague, Reichberg, went to the offices of Rob Astorino. He had an office in New York City and also up in Westchester, paid $25,000 in cash in order to get placards saying that they were clergy members of the Westchester County Police, even though neither is a rabbi. Neither is a resident of Westchester. And let's face it, in Scarsdale alone, every second person is a rabbi. You could fill up a tourist bus of everyone who would be capable of being a clergy person, rabbi for the Westchester County Police. When that happened, Rob Astorino took the code of Omerta. He has yet to answer any questions about that. Used to be a regular guest here with me, particularly on the drive home at 5. I went up. I campaigned for him in 2005 against Spano. Then again in 2009. This time he beat Spano, the Democrat. Remember the last time around I supported him against Andrew Cuomo. And he was idealistic. He was focused. But then all of a sudden he did a 180-degree turn. And now he's like as corrupt as any politician who gets wine-dined in pocket line. That's why I had to launch a coup d'etat and take the New York State Reform Party from him, because he is a complete opposite of anyone who is interested in reforming in New York State. So we took the party from him, and we gave our line in his race on November 7th to George Latimer, the Democrat.
Who's got problems as well.
Yeah, he's got some problems, but they don't deal with corruption. And you see, Rob Astorino refuses to answer that question. Why did you take $25,000? What did you do with it? And why did you get that Rolex watch, which is normally like $8,000 to $10,000?
Right.
And Rob is claiming that he paid for it with $1,000 and change. Where are you going to get a Rolex watch for $1,000 and change? Maybe a Rolodex watch, one of those knockoffs in Little Nairobi down here on 28th and Broadway, you know, where they sell the knockoff watches.
So you're not backing Astorino at all?
Oh, no. And in fact, I'm asking him to resign, because remember, there is the potentiality he's going to be indicted. Especially now that we know what Reitnich will testify in open court to.
It's funny. It's not funny. It's ironic. We heard the same thing during Skelos as it related to the Nassau County executive. And that's exactly what happened.
Mangano, right.
Yes.
Who was a real Hazurai, a real pig. Remember, his wife was a food
non-show
tester. Non-show
food tester.
Right, for a restaurant that she never went to.
I believe was making
$300,000. A year.
A year.
And she did it for 4 years. Now, is that a sweet kickback for Mangano and his little piggy wife, who looks like she did a lot of food snacking and testing at other locations, but not at the restaurant she was supposedly on the payroll for? Anyway, on that note, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duff.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
$140 million. I got to believe that you, Dominic Carter, you watched House of Cards on Netflix?
Only recently, but I fell in love with the show and watched every episode of every season.
You didn't fall in love with Kevin Spacey, did you?
I thought he was a very good actor. I thought that some of the scenes, the sexual scenes, went a bit too far in terms of male-female and male-male.
Well, if you really love Kevin Spacey, he's now open to your suggestions because he has outed himself. That's right, Kevin Spacey, we all knew he was gay for years, but he would never acknowledge it, has decided to out himself, not because, for instance, it is for the idea of clearing the air and letting him know, hey, I live a different lifestyle, you know, I like to be in the company of men, but because he was cold-busted by the actor Anthony Rapp. Now, Anthony Rapp, you may have seen in the movie Rent or Star Trek Discovery, the television series, because when he was 14, Anthony Rapp was starring on Broadway in another, like, musical play, while at that time, Kevin Spacey, who was about 26, 27 at the time, he was starring in a revival of Long Day's Journey and Tonight alongside Jack Lemmon. So what Kevin Spacey did is he threw a house party for the actresses, the actors of both plays and musicals, invited him up to his townhouse. Apparently, everyone was having a great time. And then all of a sudden, Anthony Rapp, who was only 14, he was off into the bedroom watching TV. Because let's face it, he's a teenager, right? What does he have in common with these adults? Well, who do you think comes into the boudoir and all of a sudden wants to have the urge to merge with Anthony Rapp, 14 years old, but Kevin Spacey. And apparently he works his way on top of Anthony Rapp, and he starts fidgeting and simulating sex and acting like he wanted to penetrate Anthony Rapp, when all of a sudden Anthony Rapp said, you know, normally I'm freeze and fright, but at that moment I said, I'm getting the hell out of here. So Anthony Rapp grabs, you know, his coat. He's walking towards the door. All of a sudden, Kevin Spacey follows him. And Kevin Spacey says to him, do you really want to leave? Why don't you come back? You know, we could have a good time. And that's when Rapp said, hell no, I'm out of here. Now, he never told this story to anyone, but decided to sort of out the whole situation as a result of what has happened, the tsunami of people who have come forward about Harvey Weinstein.
Good word. Good word, because that's what's going on. Are we really surprised at these allegations? Are we really shocked and surprised?
I know, but think about that. The kid was 14 years old.
Correct. That is a problem.
Kevin Spacey was preying on him. He uses this excuse that I want to out myself as a gay man. And then says, and then goes on to this, says, I've had a number of relationships with women and men over the years. My preference now and later life is men. It's clear I'm a gay guy.
I don't have a problem with any of that.
But
to each its own.
But I have no recollection of me getting on top of Anthony Rapp and trying to dry hump him.
What good does it do now?
So notice we have back-to-back, belly-to-belly, the trifecta. Earlier today, right, we saw the indictment of Manafort.
Yes.
And the reason that there was a special prosecutor is that Jeff Sessions had to recuse himself as the attorney general because he couldn't remember meeting with the Russian ambassador, who you couldn't miss, was like a walrus, Sergei Kislyak, on three occasions. Remember? Could not remember. So had to recuse himself.
But why do you sound like you're surprised? Maybe I've been in politics
too
long.
But notice, we're in three different realms. Okay,
right.
The national level.
Right.
Sessions, a southerner, can't
right.
remember.
Right.
They didn't blame it on alcohol.
None of them can remember.
All right. De Blasio couldn't remember taking phone calls from his Medici. The guy was giving him over $100,000 in bundled money for his campaign. Reichnitz couldn't remember emails, phone calls, or barely even having met him. And now we have Kevin Spacey, who couldn't remember dry humping a 14-year-old actor, Anthony Rapp, in his townhouse apartment, and then Rapp fleeing. And in this case, Spacey is blaming alcohol. He said, I must have been drunk, because I cannot remember any of the details. But he didn't deny it. He said, if in fact that happened, I profusely apologize to Anthony Rapp and any harm that I ever did to him. And will anything be done to Kevin Spacey? And you know this may just be the start of his own personal tsunami, in which other young men are going to come forward and say, yeah, he tried exactly the same thing, or maybe he went the whole way with me.
Are you surprised?
And it was unwanted.
Curtis, you've been in the media for a very long time. You've been to media parties before, right?
Oh, sure.
Of course. So, I mean, does any of this really surprise you?
The fact that the kid was 14 at the time, yeah. Yeah, I could easily see Kevin Spacey having a sexual relationship with a woman, a man,
so,
being bisexual.
So at these media parties, you've never seen folks going off and doing their own thing?
Yes.
You know exactly what I'm talking
with
about.
With adults.
Folks that have been married for years.
Yes, with adults. I've never seen them with kids. I mean, 14, that's kind of obvious. We're not talking, oh, gee whiz.
It is a crime.
He looked like 21, and yet he was 17 or 16. He's 14 years old. He's watching cartoons on a bed. You know, because he can't relate to any of the adults inside. He's just waiting for the party to end. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Will this affect any of you watching any more Kevin Spacey appearances on the House of Cards on Netflix? You know, the same way people will flock to a Roman Polanski movie. They still will flock to a Roman Polanski movie, even though he's a pedophile on a pedestal. Doesn't seem to make a difference in people's mindsets. Or, like you, how many times are you diddy-bopping every time we come back with a reentry song from Michael Jackson, the biggest of all pedophiles on a pedestal, and you say, oh, yeah, but you know, Michael, he's a great dancer, a great performer, maybe the greatest performer of all time. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to John in Rockland County. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. John?
Hey, guys. So, you know, how nice of Kevin to come forward and apologize, but how disingenuous to say he doesn't remember, or were there just so many 14-year-olds, it's hard to remember that one particular 14-year-old. I mean, come on. How could he not remember?
Like, not only that, John, but the fact that he would knowingly try to have sex with an underage teenager, clearly underage, not even close to the age of permission, means he's a pedophile, and yet he hides behind the fact of saying, I'm a gay man. Well, guess what? Gay men does not necessarily mean you're a pedophile, same way as a heterosexual man is not a pedophile. But are some of them pedophiles? Yes. But you see, he uses this as coverage, like now all of a sudden I'm coming out of the closet, I'm acknowledging I'm gay, when in fact he was committing a pedophilic act.
Exactly. And to say I don't remember, come on. I mean, leave that out. Now, nobody believes the guy.
Well, he's blaming it on alcohol. He's probably blaming it on the captain, either the captain or Jameson or something that he was imbibing at that time.
Yeah, maybe he was just a small man, and he didn't realize that.
Yeah. All these memory lapses of right. This is incredible. Incredible. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
We have physical proof that this is bull. Okay? So, it's on you if you want to destroy my children further. Right? Because it's all crap. Why don't you be human beings once? This is horrible. It's horrible what I went through. Horrible what my family went through. This is crap. And you know it. It's politically and financially motivated. And we can prove it with shocking information.
Well, Bill O'Reilly is yet to produce his proof on how he has become a victim of so many vixens, vipers, and Phoenix flytraps out there. Six on record that he settled with that we know of. But there is a guy, a former state assemblyman out there, Michael Panter. Hey, you should try to get him on the show. You know, make yourself useful here. Justin B. Love, our producer and phone screener, he has taken on O'Reilly on his blog. He said he was privy to a call that was on speakerphone in which O'Reilly was calling up one of the women that he victimized and said, hey, I need you to dig up dirt on this other woman. Both of them were working at the Fox News Channel at the time. Both of them were living in the same apartment building. And he cold-busted O'Reilly. You know what Riley did and turned around and said, I'm going to sue you for $5 million. And the former state assemblyman said, make my day, which would force O'Reilly then to have to show his proof. So now we'll see if O'Reilly...
Discovery and so on.
Right,
yeah.
Puts up or shuts up. By the way, I think that that victim of O'Reilly who was on that phone, I believe, although I don't have clarification, is Juliet Huddy, who has appeared with us here, right here at WABC. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Bill in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Billy?
Hey, Curtis. Hey, Dominic. How you doing?
Hi, Bill.
You know, it was only 50 short years ago that I was listening to WABC and listening to Cousin Brucey and Scott Muni and listening to songs. And today, you know, everything is politicized. Back in my day, I was able to enjoy my innocence as a kid, listening to Fats Domino, Ricky Nelson, Elvis, Jackie Wilson, the Everly Brothers. Now we're talking about this stuff, and I listen to you guys in hopes of hearing the truth. And I have some of my New York friends saying, you know what, Bill, you're brainwashed listening to Curtis and WABC. You have to listen to CNN to get the truth. I just want to ask both you guys one question. What the hell happened?
What happened is that we now know a lot more about people than we ever knew before. How many times some of the top performers of all time not only were perving on women and men, but perving on children, too. We had absolutely Jack Diddley Squat no idea. But now, once one door opens, then the floodgates come. And that's because of social networking and bloggers.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour or two, the winds have calmed down from that nor'easter that was slapping us around the last 24 hours with high winds, rains, gale force problems that caused so much mishigash throughout the tri-state area. Whereas we are now secure high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided for all of us to do this broadcast to you by NJDiet.com. And that means Dominic Carter is in the house for what was quite a sports day involving Houston teams yesterday. From that incredible World Series victory in Mermaid Park, in which I noticed that Bush 41, they had...
Be careful.
They took duct tape and they duct taped his arms.
I knew why.
Well, because they didn't want him leching on any of the females
who were at the Dodger-Astros
game.
Mr. Sliwa, there are certain things we don't need to say.
Yeah, but they duct taped his arms to the wheelchair.
He's an elderly man.
Who's a lech?
Those rumors go way back. To my recent memory, 1988.
Okay, but you do realize that that was a safety precaution for the women that were packed into Mermaid Stadium yesterday. It was a phenomenal victory, Houston over the Dodgers. Great baseball.
I thought we were going to make it through an entire show without me having to say, what is wrong with you?
Meantime,
we don't have to do this.
On the flip side of the sports report, the Curtis Sliwa Super Sports Spectacular, the Houston Texans were all upset because, remember, when all the owners came to New York to have this sit-down with Roger Goodell along with selected team members, and they were going to try to hash out what they were going to do.
Wait, what was that term you used? All the what?
All the owners.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure I got that clear. Yeah. All the owners.
Owners, right.
Okay.
So owners and some of the selected players, and we're going to hash out, what are we going to do? We're going to take a knee, sit on our tuchus, stay in the clubhouse. What are we going to permit, not permit? Pretty much stayed the status quo, except the NFL said we're going to kick in more of our money, you know, for social programs for all the guys who especially are doing outreach into their respective communities. Well, at that meeting, unbeknownst to us, the owner of the Houston Texans, Bob McNair, said, as part of the support for Trump's point of view.
What's that term? One more time, just so that I'm following the story.
Bob McNair.
Right. What's his title, though?
He's the owner.
Oh, not the CEO.
No.
No, he's the, quote, owner.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. He owns the team. Obviously, he's the one who's got to sign off on the contract.
Does he just own the team or does he own everything that goes with it?
I'm not sure. Most stadiums are taxpayer supported. So I don't know if he actually owns the stadium.
So does he own the predominantly team of African-American men?
Yes.
He own that?
Yes, he owns the team.
He owns the men as well?
Well, as long as they're under contract, sure. Mm.
Can you sense my sarcasm here where I'm going with this?
Well, look, you want to own me for a few million dollars? I'll be your slave. I'm more than happy to reverse roles. I'll be your indentured servant. I'll be your serf. I'll be your slave. With the kind of money they make and the short career they have, only about 4 years on average an NFL player. But they were upset, and rightfully so, because in the middle of that meeting, right here in Midtown Manhattan, he decided to say, hey, we can't let the inmates run the prison. Now, we didn't hear about that. That obviously filtered out towards the end of last week. Many of the Houston Texans were upset. They had their own meeting. What are we going to do to protest our owner? Having said that, they wanted to rip the labels off their helmet that said Houston Texans. They decided against that. So a majority of the team decided to kneel and link arms before the start of their game with the Seattle Seahawks. About 10 of the players just stood, some of them putting their hands over their heart in the traditional way to honor the national anthem. And this was one of the team members, who I believe was an offensive lineman, who had this to say about what the owner's comments had meant to the team.
Some people didn't feel quite comfortable doing it. Some people did. But we all supported each other, you know, and that was what was important. I don't think anyone looks at anyone differently, you know, for what they stood for or didn't stand for.
Now, the owner, Bob McNair, couldn't have apologized more. Threw himself on the sword in front of the team. Did it before, the night before, at a team meal in which he tried to bring solidarity.
But Curtis, was this after the fact that he was caught and his comments had been revealed?
That is correct.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
Would you have forgiven him if you were one of the offensive or defensive linemen or one of the linebackers for the Houston Texans, Dominic Carter?
To be completely honest with you, if I'm a member of that team and I'm receiving, as I've said to you many times before, and I'm receiving my paycheck, I basically could care less what the owner is saying. I'm a hired gun. I'm a hired athlete. My job is not politics. My job is to be on that field.
All right, but would you have been upset that he basically was comparing you to inmates at a prison?
I can understand how almost every person in that locker room could
since
be upset.
Predominantly African-American.
Well, I'm glad you said it. Yeah. But I can understand how they would be upset. I wouldn't take it personal. But I can understand it's inappropriate. Why would you say that when it's behind closed doors, when you don't think that your comment is not going to get
normally
out?
The term is you can't let the inmates run the asylum.
Right.
Meaning the cuckoo parlor.
Right.
So him all of a sudden using a little different terminology. You can't let the inmates run the prison. Threw a little bit of a different tone on it. Although I wonder if some of the of his players there, the Houston Texans, would have objected if he said, hey, look, owners, we can't let the inmates run the asylum, which is typically what people say about those kind of things when things get out of hand, when management no longer has control of what's taking place in their work environment and the workers are basically running amok. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Frank first up in the queue, calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Frankie.
What's up, guys? Hey, listen, I you know, Curtis, I've spoken to you about this issue before, and I don't get how these guys think that being disrespectful during the national anthem is somehow a protest towards their bosses or the police officers in this country. I mean, they're just a bunch of spoiled babies. If they want to protest against their bosses, you know what? Call in sick, you know? Give up the paycheck for the week. No, they don't want to do that because that'll keep them one game less harder to get into the playoffs. See, they're a bunch of pussies. They really are. They say they stand for something, but they don't.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the flip side of that occurred at a high school football game in New Jersey over the weekend, Friday night. As you know, Friday night, a lot of high school games are played. It was between the team in Colts Neck and the team in Monroe. So out of the officials, there are five officials, the Zebra Squad, that were assigned to the game. There was a father and a son. And, in fact, the father, Ernie, had gone to Monroe High School years ago. And he had warned everyone that, hey, if anybody takes a knee, you know, during the national anthem, me and my son, we're walking away. We're putting the chains down, because they were the lines crew on the side, and we're walking off the field. And that's exactly what four of the Monroe High School players did. They took a knee, and immediately Ernie and his son left the field and didn't come back. The game proceeded because they had substitutes who were able to come in. You know, they call them cadets who are learning how to be referees, part of the Zebra team. But Ernie and his son said we had to make a principled stand. We weren't going to stand there during the national anthem and watch these four young men disrespect our country and our flag.
Okay, well, they have a right to walk away because they were upset at the players. And the school district has a right and an obligation to fire them immediately because they should not be refereeing high school games. These are kids. Everybody has a First Amendment right. Everybody has a First Amendment right. These are kids playing the game, and they're seeing their friends that sometimes are allegedly abused by police and so on. And they're trying to make a stand. They're trying to take a stand. But these referees are paid employees. I used to be a referee myself, but they're paid referees. And if you can't call the game, then your contract with the school district, you should be terminated.
You were a zebra.
Zebra for girls basketball. Yes,
and
in Seattle, Washington.
Did anyone like make pejorative comments about you as a ref? Did the girls flip you the bird?
Sometimes the athletes get very upset when you make a call against them. But here's a trick to the athletes. Whenever you greatly complain to the referee, all they're going to do the next call is scrutinize you even harder and much tougher. So it's not wise to, you know, so if a coach was giving me a hard time, then I'm going to start giving you a hard time, coach.
Let's go to the phones. It's Giuseppe Joe calling from Flushing, a.k.a. Flushing, the area of Queens that produced Harvey and Bob Weinstein. How do you like being known for that fact, Joe?
Well, come on, Curtis. You know, it's Queens. You know, went to high school right where almost Mr. Trump lived, Thomas Edison High School. So, you know, I'm a little older than you, but I got to say first before I get to the question, I love listening to Dominic. Although I did love the princess that you had on the show, I think Dominic does a fabulous job.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah, it's just inappropriate things. You know, I was a kid from Queens. I got drafted in 1968, and I'm get off a bus with another young kid. He's black. I'm white. We walk into a restaurant. They won't serve him. We got the same uniform on. So I can understand what they want to say. How they want to say it, I don't really agree with.
I just want to say thank you for telling the truth. Because we all want to believe that with the election of Obama, that everything is great in America. And normally I try not to talk about race like this. But unless you've walked a day in my shoes, and a day as a black man in America, then maybe you should stop and maybe try and look at things the way that we're treated and the way things are in society. So you can't just say, this athlete is making $8 million a year so we can treat him any way we want to. I think you were disagreeing with that point that I was making, Joe, but go ahead.
But I can understand how they feel about the way things are in America, because I saw it, I really couldn't believe it. And I said to the waitress, I said, "Do you realize in probably 6 months, both of us will be dead, and you won't serve this guy a hamburger?" You know, and I was so frustrated at that. And this was 40, almost 50 years ago, and it's still.
Interesting, like Joe, even before that time, I noticed they had an auction of Jackie Robinson's Brooklyn Dodger cap. I think it fetched about $58,000. As great a player as he was, he go to St. Louis there, wouldn't serve him. Hotels, couldn't stay at. Because, let's face it, even though St. Louis is like right on the dividing line of the Stars and Bars, the Flag of Treason area, you know, still, it had to be extraordinarily tough. But none of these players face those kind of problems nowadays, Dominic Carter.
They don't. But the fact of the matter is, here's a second of truth serum. The fact of the matter is, generally, I'm greatly respected anywhere I go in the tri-state area, often in the country. Mm. Black man, tie on, suit on. But I could go downstairs and still, as Supreme Court Justice the first black
Thurgood Marshall.
Thurgood Marshall said, "I can still go downstairs and not be able to get a cab right now in 2017.
Oh, then you
unless they recognize me from TV, and then Dominic Carter, or if you're standing with me, then Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah, but you see, that's why you Uber. Uber. Let's go to Jim in Irvington. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Jimmy,
hi Curtis and Dominic. I got a question. Why don't the white players take a knee for all the people that get the black people do that knockout game on white people?
Jim, what you just said is right, and it's disgusting what occurs in America. I'm going to call it the way I see it. It's not just a one-way street. So I agree with you on that point.
Yeah, well, also, as a white guy, I mean, I got black friends. I never discriminated against things. We're always going to have...
Well, Jim, I would much rather separate the two, because one occurs on the gridiron, football, and the knockout game occurs in the streets. He's referring to the recent one down in Dumbo in Brooklyn. The guy's going to Shake Shack at night. He's got his two dogs with him. He ties the dogs up. He goes inside. Some black kids are outside. He doesn't mind them if they're playing with the dog, but apparently they were, like, antagonizing the dog. He comes out. He chases them. And then all of a sudden, another black guy was hanging out with him, sucker punches him from behind, knocks him out. He hits his head on the curb. And then another of the young black kids comes next to him and takes a selfie of him next to the guy who's completely knocked out. I would suggest when we catch them, you let me knock each one of them out, right? Because I'm a white guy, right? Wouldn't that be street justice?
And you know what? Folks think that you're joking. You're deadly serious
right now. I'll hit them so hard, their mother will feel the vibrations. And then they won't have to go to jail. You see, that's the benefit. Won't have to go to Rikers or Spotford or any kind of juvie center. They'll just remember that. They'll feel that right down to the marrow of their bone.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Let's go to the phones. Dominic Carter in the house. It's E.L. who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to WABC, E.L.
Yes, hi, Curtis. How are you guys?
I've had better days, E.L.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, Dominic, I would like to say I've been listening to you guys here and there, and I like you both very much. Thank you very much for giving the opportunity. I was listening briefly to your conversation because I just got on the radio a few minutes ago, and I listen to it every time. What I would like to say, I don't want to go into specifics about who's right or wrong here. I just like to bring a little, on the big picture, because it's always getting to the same point. And I'll tell you what I mean. I've been following politics and news and so and so. I'm a Jew. I'm a Jewish person. My family, part of my family, was in the Holocaust. But ever since then, making a long story short, ever since then, you know, the Jews got they built the state of Israel and they manufacture and they produce and they do things for themselves and they moved on with life. And I'm asking you, Dominic, and no disrespect to anyone, I would like to ask you how come. Every time, you know, you see on the news, all you see is like complaining and bashing and complaining about the white people towards the black, which I know many times it's the way to go. That's what really happens. But my question really is, how come I never hear black American leaders who stand up in the media like they do on the other side and say, hey, black people, black brothers and sisters, stop killing yourself. Stop looking to the side. Start taking care of your own problems. And instead of keep on blaming everyone, no one is perfect. There's discrimination of all kinds to white, black, Jew, Catholics, anything, Muslims. But I never really hear any black leader like Reverend, whatever his name, I forget his name.
Al Slim Shady Sharpton.
Right. So Al Sharpton, every time comes up on the media, only when he can filth on someone.
Hey, Dominic, it's your microphone here now. You're on the spot.
Well, to respond to your question, you don't think I ask myself the same question almost each and every night? You don't think when I watch the news, to be honest with you, that at times I'm embarrassed at the top five stories that lead the local newscast? You don't think I ask myself those same questions? You don't think I say to myself, I need to do more? You don't think I say to Sharpton in private that all of us need to do more, that we need to stop making excuses? I raise the same questions as everyone else does. I see the same things that you see. I see it just as in black and white as you do. But there is a difference. You can't say to a grown man who happens to be a professional athlete, oh, just shut up and take your money and you don't have any First Amendment rights while we're killing your people, while something may happen to your family, you have no rights, you can't say anything. That's wrong. Again, I would take the money straight up. I wouldn't be involved as an athlete. I'm not involved. I'm not paid to be a politician. I would be almost like an entertainer. I'm not paid to make political statements, even though we're seeing LeBron and people like Beyonce. But the caller are making political statements. They were big in Hillary's campaign, and Jay-Z, your favorite guy. He's raising good points. I mean, I asked the same questions.
You know what? Then why don't you come together with me and we'll just pimp slap down together Jay-Z, that degenerate hip-hop monster who still...
Don't get started.
...hasn't said anything about his very dear friend Harvey Weinstein that he was in business with, huh, Jay-Z? When are you going to pipe up, huh? But anyway, right now, let's get a few headlines and updates from Ken Duff.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house, and it's Diane calling from Bay Ridge. Welcome to WABC, Diane.
Thank you, Curtis. How are you both? Dominic, this is for you. If he stops saying words and you stop saying what does it mean, I'll never know what it means.
So that means what, Diane?
That means please don't stop explaining, because I don't understand what you said either.
Wait, so wait, I'm not the only one, Diane, here?
No, Dominic, you're not.
Well, let me start here, Diane. Let me give you a sort of tutorial here. Uzi-toting, dope-sucking, psychopathic killing machines, geriatric espresso-sipping, psychotic killers of organized crime. You see, there's an ebb and a flow. There's a rhyme, you see? Lots of adjectives.
You see, thank you, Diane. They had me believing. I'm standing. I'm like, what is he talking about? I still don't know what the term is as allegedly the smoking marijuana.
Well, that's because I have created a language. You should be familiar because some black folks created Ebonics.
Oh, here we go.
I created Sliwanics.
Here we go.
And that has,
Ebonics,
as I mentioned,
is still around?
Well, no, that didn't go anywhere because they were looking for federal funding to make it part of the, federally mandated training that you get in elementary school and junior high school. Boy, that would have been a scam of all scams. I haven't gone that route. But Sliwanics is fractured phrases, spoonerisms, heavy on the adjectives.
Okay.
And then sometimes there are words that I use that, quite frankly, you say, isn't that like Dr. Irwin Corey used to do, just make up words?
But just one more time, the smoking marijuana, it's called what?
Vaping? No, they vape now.
They vape.
Not everyone. You know, okay, you still have old-fashioned, old-timers who will whip out a spliff.
So you vape. You gotta vape,
right?
When you smoke marijuana,
right,
you
right.
Vape.
Right, it's where you hide it. It's not as in your face as a Philly blunt or a Dutch Masters blunt. And you know, that ragweed that used to smoke up in the Bronx, it doesn't have that pungent odor, you know, that curls the hairs in your nostrils.
I love you, man.
Oh, I don't go that way. Remember that. I'm no Kevin Spacey. Remember that, Dominic.